Michael Shaul is with us. He is Chairman, CEO. He's also founding partner at Marketfield Asset Management, joining us from our studios here in New York. Pleasure to have you on the program, as always. Obviously, trade is in the headlines. It's pretty easy to lose sight of the fact that the global economy, particularly the U.S. economy, is firing on all cylinders. I mean, we just had someone from Manulife Asset Management, one of their senior economists, and she was describing to me how well the Canadian economy is doing. I mean, do we run the risk of getting weighed down too much by the trade concerns, really, that have yet to show up in the data?
I think yes. I think particularly as far as global markets are concerned. I mean, many global markets, particularly emerging markets, are basically starting to price in the end of this economic cycle, in a dispute which is still in its tentative phase. And even if we knew what the tariffs were going to be, it's very unclear whether they lead to a shifting of demand for goods and services as opposed to a genuine decline in demand for goods and services. So, I would say as far as global markets are concerned, I think the mood is now more negative in reality. I think as far as the U.S. market is concerned, which at the end of the day, the S&P is still right at the top end of its range. The NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 both within touching distance of all-time highs. I think it's fair to say that sentiment in the U.S. probably matches reality. The reality is pretty good. And although the markets are volatile, performance is still pretty good.
So Michael, what do I do then? What's actionable from based on what you said here? Do I shift from the U.S. because we're near historic highs there, or do I keep invested essentially in the U.S.?
I think everybody has to make a hard decision right now as to whether we are witnessing the destruction of this economic cycle through a trade dispute or not. If you think it is, then I think you should be exiting U.S. positions, which are, if you really go through a process of higher tariffs, that is ultimately going to be a tax on U.S. corporate earnings. And it's going to be difficult, I think, for them to pass these additional costs onto their customer base. If, on the other hand, as I say, it's going to be a very messy geopolitical process, and tariffs are going to lead to goods and services being shifted around different countries. Mm-hmm. I think you buy what's outside the U.S. right now.
Very simple question for you, and I want to tie in this upcoming earnings season in the U.S. What's the transmission effect from these trade wars into U.S. corporate earnings? What should I be watching out for there?
Well, it's not really going to be visible on June 30th because the only sector that had really been affected by tariffs was steel, which is minuscule for the S&P 500. If this massive broad list was put into effect, what it would do is increase the costs of imports of Chinese goods and services, a large number of them, not by a huge amount, by about 10%. There are other forces that could negate that. Moves in underlying commodity prices, which we've seen, moves in currencies. Whether or not it's the Chinese exporter absorbing that, would also matter. But I think in general, it would be another input cost strain on a corporate sector, which is already experiencing labor costs and logistical costs moving somewhat out of control.
The off-term election, I'm going to throw a number out there. It's got to be 100 days from now. And we saw a big downdraft in many of the key commodities, particularly the agricultural commodities, wheat, cotton, soybeans, corn. Could this come back to bite the president and particularly the Republicans at this point?
Absolutely. I think that list published last night is going to be extraordinarily unpopular within corporate America, within by business owners, which is the natural support bedrock of the Republican Party. So, I think the president runs the risk of splitting his party going into a key midterm election.
Michael, I want to get your thoughts and what Jack Lew, he joined us on the shows a couple of days back, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary. And he says, what this does is it potentially creates mixed signals in the markets because you get higher prices in the U.S., which the Fed might look at and then start to perhaps talk about or talk around the need to perhaps tighten more. And that obviously does create a bigger risk. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening. I mean, we have PPI back to its levels in the early part of this decade. And I think CPI will break through the 3% level even without the influence of tariffs. And to the extent we go down this path, you know, it will be an additional inflationary pressure in a cycle which has already turned decisively.
I guess you could make a case that under the current circumstances, it would be PPI that's actually more important, more significant than CPI data. But let's yes. pivot. Coming up with an investment strategy right now, given everything we're talking about, volatility in markets, currencies, commodities, the equity space, flatter yield curve, give me a way to work, a path forward.
You know, I think that there's portions of the EM complex, emerging market complex, that now look cheap and are unlikely to be victims of this battle between China and the U.S. And I think Latin America does stand out. I don't believe that the commodity bull market has been terminated in the last couple of weeks. I think it's a violent liquidation of positions, but not really more than that. And I think to the extent that the Chinese are not buying U.S. Agricultural products or U.S. industrial commodities, they're going to be sourcing from elsewhere. And LATAM is the obvious, you know, is the obvious beneficiary of that. So that's an example of a market which I think has been unfairly liquidated and has actually, in the last couple of weeks, started to show some resilience. And, you know, even today, Latin America had nothing like the kind of beating that it was taking a month ago.
Michael, very, very quickly, should I not be worried, though, about my currency exposure to Latin America at this point?
Yes, you know, it's volatile. But, you know, at a certain point, the damage is already done. The Brazilian real, as it approaches 4, is a pretty good risk reward. The Mexican peso at 21 was an excellent risk reward, less so at 19. But, you know, these moves have already happened.